Good morning. This is your friend Dan in Little Saigon. It is May the 18th, 2019. On this date, 39 years ago, basically, on May 18th, 1980, if I've got that math correct. On this date, May 18th, 1980, the once quiet volcano erupted, Mount St. Helens. Yep, I'm going to read a little extract, a little bit of text from Live Science. Mount St. Helens was once a beautiful, symmetrical example of a stratovolcano in the Cascade Mountain Range in southwestern Washington, rising to 9,600 feet, that's 3,000 meters above sea level. Then on May 18th, 1980, the once quiet volcano erupted and blasted off the upper 1,000 feet, 300 meters of the summit, a horseshoe-shaped crater and a barren wasteland were all that remained. So sad. I remember when this happened. I was a kid. I grew up sort of northwest of the event, so we didn't really get much ash. Like, we got a little bit of ash on our cars, but I remember when that happened, when Mount St. Helens exploded. I remember when that crazy Harry Truman guy said, "I'm not leaving this mountain." It was pretty fucking funny. He was a character, he and Sasquatch and fucking JP Patches. Anyways, it's the Little Saigon Report. I don't know why I went off on that little tangent about Mount St. Helens, but you all know that I'm all over the place when it comes to the connectedness of the outer realm of the inner space of that universe that we now inhabit, created by our Lord in heaven, but filled with humans, and humans are always doing a lot of bullshit. I have been on call at work for a couple weeks. Okay, so if I sound a little bit rattled and out of it, like my tempo or my mojo isn't quite there, or my voice is fucked up, it's because I've been on call. I technically was off call on Wednesday, but it's been a weird week. And I have to say, I kind of felt it was ridiculous. I mean, as you all well know, I'm working again. I am working, I won't name the name of the precise company, though a logical, rational person who's listened to some of my podcasts would infer this because I probably slipped up and said the name, but I am currently working at Willy Wonka's On the Spectrum, slightly sociopathic and absurdly strange software factory across the great sea we call Lake Washington. And it's fine, you know. But it really is ridiculous because technically I'm in kind of an OLAP role. That's online analytical processing. Now, OLAP is basically related to things like business intelligence and reporting and stuff like that. So in general, the OLAP SLA, or, you know, sort of service agreement that you have with your software, in general, your support agreement tends to be not quite as crazy. But this is Willy Wonka's software factory, and one of the most important fucking things they do is called scorecard. And scorecard happens every fucking month, and it's like the most crazy time you can fucking imagine. Everyone's running around, where are my numbers, what are your numbers, how do your numbers look? How do you feel about your numbers? Everyone's got their numbers game going on fucking scorecard. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I'm a little off my game. And some of you out there in podcast land have complained that I haven't given you enough podcasts. And all I can say in response is, what the fuck, man? I'm doing the best I can. But I gotta say, this job sucks the life out of me. It's so stupid. Why? I mean, before I continue, the people I work with are actually okay. I actually like working with them. And overall, as far as Willy Wonka's software factory goes, I could be in a lot worse teams. There are way worse teams. And you know what? As far as software factories are concerned, Willy Wonka's isn't so bad. There's lots of cafeterias, as I've stated before, lots of nice places to eat nice, clean food. And, you know, lots of beautiful young people, men and women, and lots of that optimistic juice floating around in the sky. It's a wonderful place. It's whimsical in its demented and evil aspect, but it is whimsical nonetheless. But, you know, it sucks the life out of me, but it is a job. You know, we're all working for the crocodile, either part-time or full-time. I am currently, you know, generating cash and economic growth for the crocodile, so the crocodile's digestive tract can swallow another country like Iran. It's the thing. And if you don't know, if you're a new time listener, first time caller, whatever the fuck you want to call yourself, when I use the word crocodile, you can use the word government, because that's what I mean, but I call it the crocodile. It's my metaphor for it. Lots of people have metaphors for it. Some people just call it motherfucker. I call it the crocodile. That's my little slick thing. Fuck you, fuck me, fuck all of us. We have to work. I gotta pay the fucking rent. As you all well know, a few months ago, I thought I was gonna be homeless. And let's be blunt about that topic as I drink some more coffee. Just because good old Uncle Dan's got some money right now doesn't mean he'll have money tomorrow, honey. That's what you need to know. There's no guarantee. And this particular reality I find myself inhabiting that, yes, on its baseline was created by the Lord in heaven, but the shit that's gone wrong, the shit that we blame God for, that's 100% people. That's 100% us. This reality created by a bunch of fucking humans is demented and fucked. And why people act so slavishly, why they obey their master so well, why they're okay with all this Iran this and fuck Iran that. You know what, America? If we go to war with Iran, fuck us. Fuck you, fuck me. If we decide to just keep this fucking shit of stupid wars going, we've had nothing but stupid wars for 20 years. Stupid wars for fucking reasons that have nothing to do with human liberty or human dignity, and everything to do with some corporation's bottom line. I would say, let's take them off the welfare. I'm sorry, Raytheon, I'm sorry, Boeing, I'm sorry, military-industrial complex, but, you know, before we cut the food stamps for people who have nothing, before we throw the homeless people into the sea to be eaten by orca whales, can we cut off the fucking funding to the companies that make bombs? Can we cut off the funding to the companies that make all these fucking weapons that are being used to blow the fuck out of people? I'd like to do that. I don't care if you own a revolver or a shotgun. Okay, I know there are a lot of liberal statist douches out there who want to draw an equivalence between an AR-15 and an F-16, but I'm sorry that you're stupid. There's a big difference between a person defending themselves and a person invading another country and setting people's fucking homes on fire. If you don't know the difference between a person defending themselves and their home and going to someone's home and setting their home on fire, then you're called a sociopath, you fuck. So yeah, this job burns me out because people walk around all smiley face. The other day, I had a real conversation with my boss, or I should say my boss's boss, who's actually a decent person, pretty cool person. And I actually admitted that this whole Iran warmongering shit was kind of disturbing me. And she said, yeah, and also those tariffs. It was almost like, holy fuck, can't you meditate on the fact that there's a big fucking difference between blowing the fuck out of innocent men, women, and children and, oh, my tariffs. I have tariffs now or I don't have them. You see, this is the thing. The response I got from this person, and oh, by the way, as far as Seattle, King County, Washington State people go, this person's higher on the spectrum of decent, meaning moral, meaning principled. But immediately, the first thought after I said what I said, like 2 fucking seconds later, was, oh, and the tariffs. Because here's the thing, Microsoft does a lot of business in Asia. Microsoft does a lot of business with China. So, oh fuck, I just said the name. Anyways, Willy Wonka's factory does a lot of business there, and Willy Wonka's factory needs the business. And so, it somehow is equivalent to lose business in China to blowing the fuck out of people's homes. I don't get it. It's like that conversation I had with a Buddhist realtor back in 2013. You know, it didn't bother her at all that the money printing that allowed her to have a job was basically frying the economies of the poorest people in the world. Nah, I don't care. I don't know those people. What the fuck? You want to talk about Seattle attitude? That is part of the Seattle attitude. The I will have my Tesla and the world has to be set on fire with gasoline. I don't give a fuck. Oh, those other states that we fly over and we make fun of and we basically drop the economic nuclear waste of our broken economy on. Oh, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, I tell you, Seattle, a day's coming. I would say to those of you out there who are atheists, you should basically hold on to your atheism and hope that you're right. Because if there's a God, and I know that there is, Seattle, your day's coming. There's some tough times ahead. A lot of rude awakenings. Anyways, I went off on a tangent there, but I'm glad I did. I came across this hashtag, MGTOW. That's Mike Golf Tango Oscar Whiskey. MGTOW. Men Going Their Own Way. Now, I gotta tell you, before I go too far on this hashtag, this movement, this philosophy, that I don't really agree with it. It kind of reminds me of the plot of that, you know, little-known sleeper Shakespearean comedy, Love's Labour's Lost, which the only reason why I know much about it is because I played in that. I was King Ferdinand of Navarre at a community college rendition of that or whatever back in 1992. Long fucking time ago, people. Anyways, I get it, though. I get it. I mean, when I was dumped by my ex-wife, I spent a couple years fucking pondering the giant question, what the fuck did I just do? I mean, why was I married? This whole for better or for worse thing, I don't know what to tell you guys. I know there are people out there who believe in, you know, unicorns and kings and queens and use the drugs that are in the inserts of your magazines and feel all good inside. And if you see blood in your stool, your doctor has a pill for that too. I know. But what I'm telling you is I don't believe any of that bullshit. I don't believe in the fairy tale princess and the perfect knight bullshit. It's all bullshit. And frankly, it's part of the propaganda. The Disney propaganda, this portrayal of the surreal, unrealistic world is part of the game. Nobody will ever live up to that bullshit. No one will ever be like those fucking characters. Those are all bullshit. And then you add to the fact that there's that little, you know, tinge of Satanism in most of the Disney bullshit, then yeah. No, I don't know. I guess I spent my first few years after my divorce saying, what the fuck just happened? Why did I get married? Why did I spend so much time in that relationship? You know, I kind of knew early on it was probably not going to work out. But hey, it was like first woman I was ever having sex with. And that's really stupid. Oh, by the way, if you're a late bloomer when it comes to sexuality as a male and you're listening to my podcast, be fucking careful, because you run the risk of having happened to you what a sergeant in the army predicted would happen to me, that I would marry the first woman I fucked. Okay? I am giving you advice. I believe if the Lord in heaven were here, he would give you the same advice. And if you're a woman, guess what? The advice applies to you as well, vis-a-vis men or whatever gender you are. I don't give a fuck. The first person you're intimate with, man, woman, or, you know, other gender, whatever the fuck it is, as long as it's not animals or kids, and as long as it's voluntary, that's your own business. That's between you and the person you're fucking and God. But the point is, you run the risk, if it's the first time, you run the risk, especially as an adult, of imbuing it with some level of weightiness that is just doesn't apply. And what's the worst part? With all the fucking women's lib shit and all the women are equal to men and women are just as smart as men and women are more mature than men, when you consider the fact that my ex was actually in her third or fourth relationship by the time she met me, it seems to me that in terms of, you know, being experienced, she would have been the one to take the lead in saying, especially in 2003, we shouldn't go any further. I guess I'm bitching a bit here, but the point is, I kind of get it. I don't blame her. I blame myself. I blame myself for not recognizing very early on that as much as I liked her, I probably wasn't in love with her. And that's the thing. I fucked up. I truly fucked up. I should have had a little bit more courage when I was a younger man. I mean, yeah, my dad wasn't exactly the best role model when it came to like talking about love and whatnot, but I wish I'd had more courage when I was in high school. I wish I would have had a love affair when I was a teenager, you know, with another teenager, obviously. I wish I would have had that first love, because I didn't have the first or the second or third. When the first came along and I was 30 fucking years old, I turned it into something it wasn't. Anyways, I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but this men going their own way thing, it kind of triggered something with me. It kind of set me off. It was like, what the fuck? Is this really a thing? Are there people, are there men who have reached the point that they're so sick of all this fucking bullshit that they just have given up on women altogether, or at least for the most part? And when I consider the fact that I grew up with six women, and for the most part, you know, I could tolerate them, but my sisters can be quite terrible. I know how terrible women can be. They can be fucking terrible as fuck. In fact, it's a matter of natural history. The most vicious creatures in nature are mothers, okay? There's a rational reason for that, and it's baked into women. Women, despite their smiles and their cries and their tears and all their fucking bullshit, are some of the most vicious creatures you will ever fucking meet. They're also kind of cool, and I'm okay with women, but they're vicious as fuck. I really think so. They're way more vicious than men. But on the other hand, maybe I'm just projecting my bullshit. I will say this, I don't believe in this men going their own way. I don't hate women. I don't think men should hate women or women should hate men. I think all this gender warfare shit is a load of fucking crap. And it's by design. They love it. They love it. I will tell you, the crocodile, as much as the crocodile enjoys eating babies and blowing up cities and stealing money, the crocodile really loves it when he gets to do his divide and conquer, leaving wounded on the battlefield bullshit. So this is more wounded on the battlefield. And the crocodile loves it because the wounded take two or three people, other people who are not wounded, to take care of them. That's how this all fucking works. Anyways, I'm going to switch topics here. Ah, the next one's one of my favorite ones. And I've discussed it before, but it's worth... So, especially when you get close to something, and I think we are close to something terrible, you get a lot of people selling their safe haven asset, their safe haven coin, their safe haven location where you can move to and you'll be fine. And I have to say, of all my pet peeves, especially in the world of preppers and quote unquote people who realize the situation the human race is in, I really don't like the people who talk about safe havens. Even if they're right, it's like that, I don't know if it's Joel Skousen, but there was this dude who was on, I've seen him on podcasts, Joel Skousen, I think he wrote a book, I forget the name of it, it was something like, you know, something about where you should live, you know, basically, if things fall apart. Anyways, yeah, so Joel Skousen had a book, and I think he's done, you know, YouTube videos about it, many of them. And he's been on Alex Jones a lot in the past, but he had a book called Strategic Relocation. And I even remember him talking on Alex Jones. I don't listen to Alex Jones any longer. I don't really know what or who he is. I just don't want to talk about that. But I used to listen to some of his YouTube videos, and he interviewed Joel Skousen many years ago. Like, I want to say back in 2012, 2013. So 6 years ago. And he was basically talking about how, yeah, his people on the inside, the CIA said, prepare for World War III around 2019, 2020. And I gotta tell you, when it comes to that prediction, I gotta give Joel Skousen some street credit. I did not want to believe it. Back then, I did not want to believe that there was that kind of shit going on. I was still a little bit of a believer in what we would call the good crocodile syndrome. A lot of libertarians suffer from it. A lot of libertarians believe that you know, there are good crocodiles and bad crocodiles. A lot of libertarians believe that the United States of America was once a good crocodile. They fail to recognize that almost immediately after the crocodile came into existence with the U.S. Constitution, it started eating Native Americans. Okay, so yeah, in the 19th century, other than, you know, eating Southerners, it mostly spent its time eating Native Americans. And so a lot of white people will say, well, fuck, the 19th century was so awesome. Folks, wake the fuck up. There's no good crocodile. Anyways, back then I believed that, you know, I was a libertarian still, kind of, you know, back then. And I believed in the quote-unquote concept of the good crocodile, the small crocodile that only dealt with rapists and murderers and thieves and other types of scoundrels that abuse people's personal rights and property. That was the good crocodile theory. You just put the big one on a diet, it shrinks down, you give it some cancer treatment because it's got tumors, and then once it's small, you know, it's a good crocodile again. This is the whole small government, you know, let's reform the Constitution, you know, fucking, oh, what's that COTS movement? Convention of the States bullshit. Let's redo the Constitution. Listen, folks, you are not putting the crocodile on the crocodile is not going on a fucking diet. I've already said this enough. Anyways, Joel Skousen basically said we'd have World War III around 2020. I think that he nailed that one. And he had that book called Strategic Relocation, you know? And the whole idea behind strategic relocation is that you need to get to a place where you'll survive the nukes going off and the riots, the food riots, and the chaos to come. But here's the thing, and this is the thing about guys like Joel Skousen, is I think that they're seeing the world from a slightly tilted perspective. You know, it's like the folks who say, well, I'm piling gold and I'm piling bullets. I'm going to let in a little secret, folks. And maybe that's only because I have a master's degree in fucking military history. But if you're by yourself and all you have is a sniper rifle, an assault rifle, or a bunch of guns, a bunch of bullets and gold and food, you're probably fucked. Because it doesn't matter how many bullets you have. Eventually, you'll have to go to sleep. Eventually, you're going to make a mistake and you're going to get killed. So it won't matter how much gold or bullets you have. And I don't care where you live. You could be living in bumfuck fucking Wyoming. You could be living in the corner of fucking Montana. When this shit becomes unraveled, people will spread in all directions. It's a lot like stage 4 cancer, folks. There is no stage 5. And so when or if things really fall apart and, oh, by the way, there isn't some nuclear war to remove a lot of these hoodlums and crazy people from the cities. People like the people who live in Seattle, the nice, good people of Seattle. When shit falls apart and they become the monsters that they really are on the inside, at least most of them, they're going to go everywhere. Just like stage 4 cancer, all the little cancer cells will spread everywhere. You're fucked. I don't care where you live. You will be dealing with groups of people. And I say that plural. It won't be ones and twos. It will be groups. It will be mobs. I mean, here's the deal. I'm all for prepping if you need to prep, and I'm all for preparing. It's okay. I'm all for you, you know, going to the country and having a farm, but not because you're preparing for the worst, but because, you know, you're trying to like live a different kind of life, you know, a life where you're not so connected to the crocodile. If there's a way to do it, I'm all for it. I support it 100%. But don't sell your safe haven bullshit. Don't tell me there's some country or some city or some desert or some place that won't be touched. I hate to break it to you folks, but the cancer of this broken fucking world is everywhere. It is in America, it's in Mexico, it's in Argentina, it's in Africa, it's in Germany, it's in Russia, it's in China, it's every fucking place on earth. And you think you're going to go someplace to escape it when this shit goes... Here's my advice, especially to ordinary, everyday schlubs like me. You need to imagine the next decade or so like the flush of a toilet. And currently, there are little crusties on this dirty toilet that you can cling on to when the flush happens. There's little crunchy pieces of glomulus coming from your sphincter zone, little sticky concretions of grotesqueness stuck to the side of the toilet bowl. You can grab onto those when the flush comes. That is the best you can fucking hope for. You can grab onto the concretions of what's left over from the shit bowl of this broken technological civilization of giant crocodiles and neighbors fucking each other over for some fiat currency. You can hold on to the crusty and hope for the fucking best. But if you think there's a safe haven from this storm, if you think there's a place you can hide, I'm telling you, and I think the Lord in heaven would tell you, you cannot hide from your sins. You can't. And if you're going to tell me, well, Dan, I did it the right way. I obeyed the crocodile, and the crocodile paid me. And yes, I saw pillars of smoke in the distance when the crocodile would give me a bucket of gold, but I didn't focus so much on the burning cities miles away. I was focusing on the bucket of gold. Listen, you can tell me all your fucking bullshit. You can say you've been a conservative and you paid all your bills and you have no debt, and so you're really pissed off that there are so many poor people who are in debt. Listen, fuck you. I don't care who you are. You could have sucked the cock of the crocodile. That doesn't make you better in my book. Makes you worse. If you're a cocksucker for the crocodile, fuck you. If you're an ordinary schlub like me, do the best you can. When the shit hits the fan, the best advice I can give is the advice I give myself. Find some grimy side of this nasty toilet bowl where there's a concretion of some crappy shit and hold on tight. Next topic. Ugh, I don't want to talk about this one. Green shoots. Listen, going back to like, I don't want to talk about recovery summer. But let's talk about Recovery Summer 2010, when Biden went on his great tour during Recovery Summer, convincing people that we'd all been recovered. And there were green shoots everywhere. And then 2 years later in 2012, green shoots, green shoots, green shoots everywhere. I remember I really did troll, not at first, but then they turned me into a monster because they banned me for having conversations about economics. But yeah, I ended up trolling MarketWatch.com in the summer of 2012 as Dr. Freckles, and I posted a lot of, you know, green penises growing out of the earth, you know, with tagging them with green shoots on that MarketWatch. It was pretty awesome. But yeah, the green shoots stuff is bullshit. Green shoots is bullshit. It's total fucking bullshit. Okay? When they constantly tell us there are green shoots, what they're really saying is you're stupid. We're going to try to convince you there's some big economic boom in up-the-butt buggery or left-side rimiology with your new app on your fucking Apple phone that you can shove into your sphincter and have it tingle your glimbulus. Yeah, they'll try to convince you there's some green shoots someplace. Just some type of cucumber being shoved up your butt. But I will tell you, there are no green shoots. If you look at the world economy rationally over the last 10 years, this is what you can say. For all the debt and all the money printing and all the fucking dark pool derivatives, credit default swap bullshit. We have barely gone above baseline. And I would argue, because there is inflation, they lie about it. It isn't less than 2%. What a fucking load of fucking bullshit. Real inflation is closer to 7 or 8%. Because there is inflation, the world economy's technically been shrinking for 10 years. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's called a depression. They've lied to you by papering it over, literally papering it over with printed money. Kind of like, you know, like what Hitler did after he took power. The point is, they've been papering over this nonsense. And as Hitler realized with the Rentenmark, eventually, you know, people want to get paid. So yeah, then you have the war. So now, because of our fucked upness, our bullshit, yeah, green shoots. There are no green shoots. That's bullshit. Oh, yeah. So where I catch the bus on Jackson Street, 12th and Jackson, where I catch the bus, I was looking across the street the other day, and there was some graffiti. Somebody had tagged a building across the street with the following statement, stay grimy. Stay grimy. And I thought about this. It's like, holy crap, that might be the motto of Little Saigon. I mean, yes, 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 if not for the old Asian women throwing their crusty bread onto the sidewalk, we wouldn't have 50 billion fucking pigeons pooping everywhere on the sidewalk, which is wonderful. If not for all of the glimbus and sclimuli, if not for the zombus and the hornium and all the other mambavlick that's left on the sidewalks, the greasy fucking film of bile and poop and probably cum and blood and all of the fucking nastiness of Little Saigon soaked into it. So it seals in the juices. Little Saigon seals in the juice. Stay grimy, Little Saigon. I love it here. I love it here because the people I despise mostly don't visit here. The people I despise, the people of the nice neighborhoods of Seattle where they drive their 20-year-old Volvos and they shop at Value Village because they're not house poor, they're house rich. They're house rich. Now, these people don't often visit Little Saigon, and when they do, I tend to like to freak them out by giving them scary looks or walking with determination. So, you know, walking with determination on Willy Wonka's campus, wow, that's fun, because everyone's staring at their little glowing rectangle. So if you walk with determination at Willy Wonka's Software Factory, you will freak people out. It's like, what? You didn't move from me? I was entitled to my space with my glowing rectangle. Fuck you. Look while you're walking. I'm going to walk with determination. Anyway, stay grimy, Little Saigon. So, the job I have, the new job, is starting to feel kind of normal. And I know that the word normal is a loaded word. It's hard to know what that means. Normal for America, or an American, or a United States citizen, a denizen of this wretched prison camp, normal here is not necessarily normal in some other crocodile's prison camp, someplace else. You know, so yeah. But I've been thinking about this because this job's kind of, to the extent that I can stomach this job, and this job isn't giving me, you know, all kinds of problems yet, and I realized that the V8 juice was tearing the insides out of me, and I solved that problem by no longer eating, you know, drinking the free V8 juice. To the extent that I can literally and figuratively stomach the job, it's kind of working out. It's kind of okay. And now I got a bit of money, and I don't care about the crocodile's debt collectors. They can go fuck off. If I'm right about the situation with the world economy, they got way bigger fish to fry. Uncle Dan's debt, which is still technically less than $100,000, I think, is nothing compared to the debt of, I don't know, the whole fucking planet. So yeah, it is what it is. So I'm kind of entering this normal phase of thinking I can, like, maybe go on trips and visit people. Maybe I can go to that restaurant. I even talked about going to a fucking steakhouse the other day. Okay, listen to me. Listen to me. A few months ago, I was considering what I would need to do to live in the streets. And then the other day, I'm talking to some dude about going to that Zane's Seattle style steakhouse down there where the fashionable people rub the glimbis and then they go in and eat and shove things down the mouth pipe that's all the steak and the Pinot Noir. You know that fucking place? But here's the thing, when it comes to the situation of the world, and I gotta be honest with you, this is my perspective, especially if you're single. If you're single, unmarried, no kids, then I think this applies to you as well, because it applies to me, I think. When it comes to the situation with the world, for us single, especially those of us around the age of 50 who are single, no kids, and especially you men out there, men going their own way, I think you have one of two valid options. Option one is to try to do the prepper thing. I'm going to prep. I'm going to get a farm someplace. I'm going to live in a container in the woods. I'm going to stockpile water and ammo and gold. And listen, if I had the money, I don't know. My prepping over the next few months is going to amount to going to REI and building up a backpack kit. That'll be my prepping. But if you got the money, fine, go do it. Go get your fucking farmhouse. That's fine. Another valid option for people facing the abyss is to enjoy every fucking day of quasi-normality as long as you fucking can. What you need to do, and this is really fucking important, you should listen to this because this might be good fucking advice. You need to treat these last days, weeks, months, I don't know if it's going to be years, of America-style civilization as a really nice bottle of wine, like a nice Pinot Noir from Carneros. And you need to savor it. You need to savor every fucking day. That's my opinion. That's kind of what I'm trying to do because this shit is not gonna last. We're either gonna become a hyper police state where basically Uncle Dan goes underground to blow bridges, or we're basically gonna fall apart. But the current reality, the fucking going to Walmart and getting your beefaroo cubes and your scrambian at the fucking Walmart for $5.99, that shit's coming to an end, folks. Your $200 HD style flat screen, that shit is coming to an end very, very fucking soon. And it isn't just about the fucking tariffs. Oh, by the fucking way. So, yes, it's a valid strategy to say, I'm going to go and read Joel Skousen's Strategic Relocation, and I'm going to find myself a safe haven in Wyoming where I can sit around and eat my Nally's tamales and play with my fucking French bulldog and fight my way out of battles with the bandits as they come to steal my shit because they're going to be coming. They will be. Anyways. It's fine. I'm choosing to do the normie thing while it lasts. I'm not really normie. It's more like I'm going to be the anarchist pretend, accepting the prison camp life because, hey, I get to go to Willy Wonka's factory. My team ain't so bad. I have a job. I don't hate it there. If I hated it there, I wouldn't be there. But definitely, I don't love it. But compared to being homeless, I'd rather work at Willy Wonka's. That's the truth. It's sort of like that question from, a year and a half ago. Do I go back to Seattle or do I drown myself in the White River in Indianapolis? That was my question. And as stated a few months ago, I don't know if my answer was the correct one even to this fucking day. Anyways, so I'm going to try to do my first interview soon. I tried to do one a few weeks ago with a dude from Alaska. We had technical difficulties. He never contacted me again. I don't know what to say about that. I gotta tell you, there's a lot of strange people you meet on the internet. They're not always bad people, but there's different people. And sometimes there are people who seem like nice people, but turn out to be total pieces of shit. So just be careful when you're on the internet. Anyways, I'm gonna be doing an interview series, I think, or I'm gonna try to with a niece and nephew of mine. I have no doubt that other nieces and nephews, it becomes a really cool thing. We'll say, why can't we, Uncle Dan? And say, well, you know what? I'll do interviews with you also. It'll give me lots of people to interview, lots of practice, and then, you know, conversational shows, and then I can interview the big fish. I can maybe even email James Howard Kunstler and say, listen, dude, I know you probably think I'm crazy, but would you let me interview you? But yeah. That's down the road. But yes, the first topic I think for our Generation Z, because they're technically Generation Z, they're in their early 20s, so I think that's Generation Z. But the first topic for Generation Z is this is the homework assignment. We're each going to go get a different magazine, and we're going to read the advertisements for the pharmaceutical, for the drugs, for the drug advertisements inside. We're going to read them. We're going to research them, and then we're going to talk about them for maybe an hour, talking about those interesting new drugs and all their side effects and how we feel about it. Anyways, I'm hoping that'll be a good first topic, good first show. And I got to be honest with you, even though I have more things I could talk about at this point, since I'm at 40 minutes, I'm probably going to close this out. I'm probably going to tell you right now that there are other subject matters coming down the line that I do intend to be less of a, somehow, I'm going to work and still keep some level of quality for this podcast, but how I'm going to do that, I don't know. And oh, finally, and I'm going to say this a few more times, but for right now, I think it's important. If you have been supporting me financially, like beyond a reasonable level, because I know some of you pay money through Patreon because you feel like you like my podcast. And if it's a small amount and you can afford it, it's no big deal. But if you've been like paying out big money or money you can't afford, please stop. Because for right now, I can fund my podcast. You know, the reason why I reached out for money a few months ago, it isn't top secret. It's in my podcast. I was worried about being homeless. Well, I now got a whole month's worth of rent paid and a month ahead. I mean, come on. In a few weeks, I'm going to have 4 or 5 months of rent paid ahead. And for a hobo, that's a hobo miracle. So I appreciate your help. Do not get me wrong. I appreciate it. And if I need the help again and you feel so inclined and so generous, I'll ask. But right now I'm doing okay. I can only say I really appreciate it. I don't want to dox people, as the kids say. I don't want to put people's names out there because I'm not really sure which lists I'm on. You know, the lists, the L-I-S-T, the lists. I don't know which lists I'm on. But there is at least a couple people out there, about 3 or 4, who have been really helpful and basically made the difference last winter. And to all you out there who helped me last winter to make it through the winter. And I don't just mean the money either. Some of you, let's be more bold and be more honest here. It isn't just about the money. For those of you last winter who came out of the woodwork, some of you probably saw me posting my links on Zero Hedge. And that's a whole nother topic. But to all you guys who reached out to me, to all you folks who helped me out financially, but also who simply were there to talk, I just got to say thank you. You know, I believe in God. So in my worldview, I think God put some people in my life a few months ago. I needed help. And there were people who were there to help. Believe me, I've had people in my road who were not sent by God. And I've encountered those people too, and they're not cool people to encounter. But the people that I've encountered, for the most part, vis-a-vis my blog, have been extremely helpful, decent people. All I can say to you folks is thank you. Doesn't matter if you gave me any money at all. The fact that a lot of you guys just reached out to me, I really, really appreciate it. So, anywho, that got all sappy and filled with glim. Of course, we got all kinds of topics coming up. I can tell you that, you know, this will come up because I recorded it, but there was a bus malfunction yesterday on the 545, and so I got to record the bus driver shouting through her speaker system, "This is the 545. This is the 545 to Redmond." So yes, We got topics. And you have a great Saturday and a great weekend. And go play with your French bulldog, okay? Isn't that nice? Bye.